Friday, August 24th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City. We are right here in Denver, Colorado, and you know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. Know that's sorely lacking in the sports world today, but we try to bring that to you every single weekday. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Friday to you. You know, if you can just hold out for a few hours, if you can just survive a few hours at work today, we are off to the weekend. That is always a good thing. If you'd like to contact us, let us know maybe what you'll be doing this weekend. We would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosports@gmail.com, or you can go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. If you've got a question, if you have a comment, maybe you have a concern for us, maybe you just have something specific you'd like us to talk about, feel free to reach out over there. We would love to hear from you. Hey, today on the show, we do have some breaking news coming out that we want to make sure that we discuss. And as we do on most Fridays, we will also have our weekend preview. What is there to watch in sports over the next 2 days? Now, it has been a horribly dry time of year over the past, say, month. It is starting to warm up. It is starting to get better. We are starting to have some things to watch over the next 2 days. You're going to want to make sure that you stick around for our weekend sports preview. And as we do also on most Fridays, we will have our Daily Dose Top 5. That has been a popular segment since we started the Daily Dose back in the day. You always have to make sure that you tune in for the Daily Dose Top 5 because honestly, I don't even know where it's going to go. I just try to hold on for dear life and see where it takes me. But let's jump into a few things coming out in the world of breaking news. And bizarrely, I'm actually going to start with some NBA news because the NBA's Board of Governors are expected to pass rule changes for this next season that will include resetting the shot clock after an offensive rebound to just 14 seconds instead of the full 24, simplifying the clear path foul rule, and expanding the definition of the hostile act to more easily trigger instant replays. Now, the NBA sent a memo to the league's general managers and coaches on Thursday to outline kind of the recommendations of what the league competition committee was going to give to the Board of Governors. And then the Board of Governors will vote on these rule changes in September, and they'll need a two-thirds majority to pass these new rules. Of course, the NBA is hoping that resetting the shot clock to 14 seconds after offensive rebounds, maybe that'll raise shot attempts a little bit more, especially if it's a close game. You can't just go get an offensive board and run out the clock. You'll have to get a shot back up. It'll lower that down a little bit. They want more scoring. They think this might help. But here is my thinking when I see these new rule changes. Could we maybe look at the actual problems in the NBA instead of this stuff? Because I realize that the NBA is looking at these three rules right now and they're saying, hey, these are hugely important to the success of this league. But honestly, when I look at these rules, I don't care about any of these rules. Do any of us really care that much about resetting the shot clock? I mean, yes, I think it would be better. It doesn't really break my heart either way, though. Do you care about the clear path rule? No, I know I don't. Do you care about the hostile act stuff? I don't care about that stuff. Can the NBA just focus on the things that are actually problems? Because that would be pretty huge, I think. Can we just look at the things that are actually a problem in the NBA? For instance, I'd rather see a change to the playoff format so that we don't have to see the Washington Wizards go 43-39 over in the Eastern Conference and get into the postseason while the Denver Nuggets win 46 games playing in the West and they have to sit home on their couch. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Can't we kind of restructure this whole playoff format and get the best teams in? Instead of getting the Wizards and the Heat and the Bucks in, I'd rather see teams from the West. I would rather see the best teams involved in the postseason. Isn't that what it's supposed to be about? I'd rather see them step in and make some new rules about the blatant disregard for traveling by a number of the top stars in the league right now. You can't take 5 steps without putting the ball on the floor. It's an advantage. Yeah, the NBA doesn't really care about that. They don't really look into that at all. Could the NBA maybe review these officiating crews that are either so completely crooked or so completely incompetent that I am absolutely positive we are going to end up having a tragic incident once sports betting really gets going? The NBA needs to address these things, not these silly shot clock clear path fouls. I don't care about that stuff. Go address the things that actually need to be fixed in the NBA. That would actually be pretty important. They do have some things to address. These silly rules aren't really among them. Switching over to college football, the sports world is still buzzing about the Ohio State decision on head football coach Urban Meyer. You know, the investigators that worked on behalf of Ohio State said that they believe Urban Meyer did not deliberately lie to the public when discussing his knowledge about his former assistant coach Zach Smith's past when he was at Big Ten Media Days back in July. However, a written 23-page summary of the findings released by the university late on Wednesday night shows they had reasons to doubt that Urban Meyer was being completely forthcoming during this entire investigation. The investigators said that they found a number of flaws in Meyer's testimony, that they have reason to believe that Meyer and his wife Shelley did communicate in some way about this whole situation. And of course, Urban Meyer told investigators during the interviews this month that he had no knowledge of any of the messages that were out there. Apparently, investigators reviewed about 60,000 electronic documents and 10,000 pages of Coach Meyer's text messages from the past year. They attempted to retrieve all the text messages, but they were unable to. That just tells you right there, Urban Meyer was probably hiding some things. Now, was he hiding things about Zach Smith, or was he hiding things we don't even know about? That would be my biggest concern. Forget the Zach Smith thing. Like, that's all kind of out. We kind of know what happened there. And yes, they kind of hid it. He was trying to take care of Earl Bruce's grandkid or whatever that situation was. But when I look at this situation and I see some of the things that he's trying to keep secret and I see some of the texts that he was hiding, what else don't we know that was going on at Ohio State? That would be my biggest question. And how did Urban Meyer get rid of all these texts? Did he have a specialist come in and clean out his phone? Did he call Tom Brady? I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas here. I don't know, but I'm just saying that might be something they want to look into. Now, the one thing that I have heard a number of people talk about, because of the backlash and because of the pushback by a number of people saying, how are you only suspending Urban Meyer for 3 games? How are you only giving him 3 games? He obviously was doing some shady things here in regards to Zach Smith. Why are you only giving him 3 games? Is there a chance we could see Ohio State kind of pull an NFL, kind of pull a Roger Goodell and say, you know what? We've actually decided that we're going to have to go ahead and let Urban Meyer go just because of the firestorm and all the backlash that they're getting right now. Is there a chance that could happen? I mean, yeah, I guess there's a chance. But I would think that in order for that to happen, you would have to see a major presence from the students at Ohio State saying, hey, we no longer want Urban as our head coach. And I don't think you're going to see that. I think if there was a big push from the student population at Ohio State, then maybe they might act, maybe they might make a move. But I don't think we're going to see that because I think everyone back there is like, hey, who cares? Guy wins. Urban Meyer wins. That is the bottom line. As long as he's here, we are in the thick of a national title hunt. And that is all we're concerned about. So no, I don't think that'll happen. Now, if the student body all got together and they had some giant protest and they went and stood outside the president's office and said, hey, we no longer want Urban Meyer, then I guess, I don't know, maybe you give that a chance that something might happen. But I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, this isn't Tennessee. This is Ohio State. Hey, coming back, we will be previewing the weekend in sports. And you know, it's starting to get a little bit better. We have a couple things that might be worth your time to watch this weekend. Plus, we do still have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5 today. You know, you have to stick around for that. Okay, so let's shift over to our weekend sports preview. You know, we try to do this every week. We try to take a look at some of the upcoming events over the weekend so that you just have some idea maybe how to map out your weekend. When do I need to be near a TV? When do I need to be near a device that I can kind of keep an eye on a game or an event that is taking place over the weekend? So we try to just help you map out your calendar and say, okay, on Saturday at this time, I might want to watch this. And on Sunday at this time, I kind of forgot this was going to be on, but I definitely want to tune in for that. We try to do that every single Friday. Of course, with sports betting coming, we do also pick the games. And then we usually let you know how we did on our picks. Now, last week, we actually went 5-3 on our picks, which might sound a little bit better than it is. But But I did go 5-0 on NFL preseason games. Just want to throw that out there. That's right. I'm back, baby. 5-0 on NFL preseason games. You know, I have always said that anyone betting on the NFL preseason games is basically like a degenerate gambler. 5-0 on preseason games. What does that make me? I don't know. I don't want to think about that. Anyway, here we go again. Remember all times given our mountain time zone, but here are a few things you might want to tune in for this weekend. Starting tonight, 5:30 p.m., and yes, this might be a little bit of a homer pick, but you do have two teams participating in an NFL preseason game tonight. That might be decent. Remember, this is the best week of NFL preseason because that third game, NFL teams are taking a look at everyone in a more competitive situation, and they actually want to look at players. How are you going to perform? They're usually going to play the starters two, sometimes even three quarters, and you actually do see something that resembles a real football game, and then they'll bring in the backups. And then in game four, you really don't even want to watch it because game four of the NFL preseason is absolutely horrible. But tonight we have two teams that might be interesting because both of them are bringing out brand new quarterbacks. Washington has new quarterback Alex Smith. Is he spectacular? No. Is he going to throw the ball down the field? Probably not. But could he make Washington a little more steady and maybe get them to play a little more mistake-free football? Yeah, I think he'll probably do that. He will be facing the Denver Broncos and their new quarterback, Case Keenum, who is going to have to try to figure out if he can stay alive behind that horrible offensive line. Now, is Washington or Denver really going to do anything this season? I wouldn't think so, but maybe tonight this will give us a hint if either one of these two teams could possibly consider maybe that dark horse coming out of their divisions. Washington versus Denver tonight, 5:30 p.m. Not horrible. I'll take Washington to win that game. Also at 5:30 tonight, you know, the New England Patriots have now cut their third wide receiver of the preseason. They dumped veteran headache Kenny Britt this week. But honestly, how many guys can New England afford to get rid of? They need wide receivers. They need them badly. Tonight at 5:30, New England will be facing the Carolina Panthers. And you know, I don't know what to expect from Carolina this year. And I don't know which current Panthers wide receiver is going to be putting Cam Newton on blast here in like a year or two for his wild inaccuracy and his lack of football sense. Maybe we should just tune in to see that. A lot of questions in this game is what I'm saying. But New England versus Carolina tonight, 5:30, should be a pretty decent game. I will take the Patriots to win this game. Also tonight, starting at 6:40 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Hey, don't look now, but we have two of the hottest teams in the National League in Major League Baseball, and they are going to be meeting for a three-game series that begins tonight. And when I say their names, they might not be the teams you're thinking of. Because no, I'm not talking about the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm not talking about the Philadelphia Phillies. They're both tripping all over themselves right now. I am talking about the St. Louis Cardinals, who are suddenly red hot after firing manager Mike Matheny. They are now 23-11 since that move, and they're making a pretty hard push for the postseason. Tonight, they will come to Denver for a three-game series with the Colorado Rockies, who are also hanging in there for a playoff spot of their own. The Rockies have now won 10 of their last 12, and now that schedule, which was tough, starts to ease up just a little bit, but they've got to find a way to beat St. Louis. These are two of the top teams in the hunt for the wild card right now, and they still could both win their division. St. Louis versus Colorado, that's a pretty good game. I will pick the Cardinals to win this series because I just know how the Rockies operate. They're really, really good when the pressure's not on. But when there's actually pressure involved, and this Cardinals series could be some actual pressure, yeah, usually the Rockies tend to wilt. So I'll go ahead and take St. Louis here. One last baseball series getting started tonight. And you know, honestly, there's just not a ton of great baseball this weekend. You have a lot of haves playing a lot of have-nots. But here is one other series that might be worth your time. The Arizona Diamondbacks are somehow still leading the National League West. And honestly, I guess it's just because for all of the flash and all of the explosion that some of the other lineups have, the Diamondbacks play pretty good defense. It's not always pretty, but they're usually at least in the game. Arizona will be facing one of, honestly, the most schizophrenic teams in the league right now, in the Seattle Mariners. I can't figure out the Mariners. I don't think anyone can. They can beat the Houston Astros one series, and then they can turn around and lose to the Rangers the next series. Doesn't make any sense. Arizona will try to hold off Colorado and the Dodgers. Meanwhile, the Mariners are trying to stay in that wild card race over in the American League. I will take Arizona in this series. Tomorrow, starting at 2 p.m., we do have an NFL preseason game that might be worth your time as the Tennessee Titans will take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you know, if you squint your eyes, you can pretend that maybe this is an old school AFC Central battle between the Houston Oilers and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now, this season, the Steelers once again have pretty high expectations, and the Tennessee Titans could be sneaky good, so this actually might be a pretty decent game. It's not a bad matchup. Steelers versus Titans, 2 p.m. tomorrow. I will pick the Steelers in this game. At 5 p.m. tomorrow, we get that third preseason game between the Atlanta Falcons and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hey, here is Matt Ryan's big chance to show Jaguars cornerback Jalen Ramsey that he is not, in fact, overrated, because he's going to have to step up and prove some things in this game. He's not going to have either Julio Jones or Devontae Freeman. Good luck, Matty Ice. You know, the Falcons have not been very impressive so far this preseason, and I don't read a ton into that, but you do want to see some success. On the other side, yet neither is Jacksonville. And their quarterback, Blake Bortles, is actually being singled out by Tim Tebow, who is calling him wildly inaccurate as a passer. I'm not sure he really said that, did he? I don't think he said that. I'll take Jacksonville in this game at home. Now, tomorrow night at 5:30 p.m., we sort of have college football. We have real college football. It's not like they have preseason games. It's not like they have exhibitions, none of that stuff. But it is week zero of the college football season. And no, there's not great matchups. But it, like I said, is real, live, actual college football. On Saturday at 5:30, the University of Hawaii comes to Colorado to see what paradise truly looks like. They will be facing Colorado State in Fort Collins, and the Rams are going to have to replace a number of players on offense. Quarterback Nick Stevens is gone. Wide receiver Michael Gallup is also gone. And head coach Mike Bobo, he's going to have to work pretty hard to get this group back to another bowl game. Meanwhile, Hawaii not only has to replace players, they actually have to replace a number of members of their coaching staff who left, and that's never a good sign. So I will take Colorado State in this game. At 6 p.m. tomorrow night, we have one other NFL preseason game that could be worth your time as the New Orleans Saints go out to L.A. to face the Chargers. Hey, Drew Brees should get a few snaps against his former team. You know, they say that Drew Brees and his former teammate, Chargers quarterback Philip Rivers, are actually still pretty good friends to this day from their days they spent together back in San Diego. Or I don't know, maybe Philip just needs another babysitter. Whatever, you can never be too sure about a guy who wears a bolo tie. Remember that. I will take the Chargers to win the Saints-Chargers game tomorrow night. At 8 p.m. on Saturday night, we have one more college football game that could be worth your time to watch because Josh Allen is no longer at Wyoming. But head coach Craig Bohl is, and the Cowboys' defense is still going to be pretty good. Last year, the Wyoming Cowboys allowed just 17 points per game. That actually ranked them in the top 10 defenses in the country. I mean, who knew? Granted, it's not like Wyoming is going out and facing these stellar offenses. They're not playing Oklahoma and stuff every week. But they were still holding teams down when they faced them. And they returned 7 starters from that group last year. Now, Wyoming will be going down to New Mexico to face New Mexico State, who really probably won't be very good. But I would imagine down in Las Cruces, New Mexico, it's going to be just a shade cooler than hell itself. So I don't know, maybe New Mexico State can give Wyoming at least a little bit of a run. I will pick the Wyoming Cowboys to win this game. On Sunday, you know, the PGA Tour will be up in New York this week at the Northern Trust, and all of the big names are going to be there. So it might be worth tuning in for to see whose names are up on the leaderboard at the PGA Northern Trust tournament. And you know, we do actually have some NFL football on Sunday this week, but I'm warning you right now, it's not great. Now, you may hear that, and you may think I'm saying it's not great because it's, you know, preseason football, but that's only part of the answer. It's also because we have 4 pretty bad teams playing each other in these 2 games on Sunday. At 2 p.m., we have the Cincinnati Bengals facing the Buffalo Bills. You know, if we combined the Bengals and the Bills, we might get one pretty decent team. I don't think we'd have an offensive line between them, but we'd have one decent team. You know, we were hoping in this game to see Andy Dalton versus AJ McCarron, former teammates going at each other, but then McCarron went down with that shoulder injury. They are now saying they don't think that shoulder is going to finish his season and that he could be back in the regular season. The collarbone is not broken like it was first reported. Don't worry. With that offensive line AJ McCarron will have something else broken very, very soon. I will take the Bengals in this game. And at 6 p.m., we finish off the weekend with the final game of NFL preseason week 3 as the Arizona Cardinals go to Dallas to face the Cowboys. That's a pretty good matchup. Oh, wait, it's not 1998. Never mind. It's not a very good matchup at all, but it will have to do this week because that is all we have. I will take the Cowboys in that final game. Hey, coming back, we need to get to our Daily Dose top 5. So we have discussed this week how the Washington Nationals look like they are pulling the plug on the season. And when we look at that team, they haven't accomplished that much, but they aren't the only ones. Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, you might want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. September's Loot Crate theme is now out. It features items from Alien, The Predator, The X-Files, and Venom. But the best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, just make sure you type Daily Dose in the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order, just as a little thank you for listening to the Daily Dose every day, which we do appreciate so much. Now, as we do every single Friday, we've got to get to our Daily Dose top 5. So earlier this week, we saw the Washington Nationals start moving some veterans. They started looking to the future, at least that's what they tell us. You know, the Nationals traded Daniel Murphy. They traded Matt Adams. And apparently they even looked at possibly moving Bryce Harper, who is set to become a free agent after the season. It's a sad state of affairs for the Nationals. They have had guys like Murphy and Harper and Ryan Zimmerman and Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer, and they've never won a single thing. You would think with that lineup in or near their prime, they might have won something. They never even advanced in a playoff series. So with that in mind, like I said, they're not the only ones. There have been a ton of other teams that were stacked with talent, but they failed to win anything. Now, we could probably name 100 of those teams, honestly. There are so many of them out there, but we're going to slim our list down to just 5. Now, understand, these are not the teams that didn't win it one year, but then they won it in another year. I mean, when the Patriots failed to win and complete a perfect season, okay, but then they ended up winning it a year or two later anyways. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about teams that never won it all. I'm talking about teams that never did fulfill that ultimate goal of winning the championship. Here is our Daily Dose top 5 teams that really never won anything. Starting off at number 5, you know, in basketball, if you have two legitimate studs, you can be a pretty serious problem. Michael and Scottie, Shaq and Kobe, Wilt and Jerry West, LeBron and the NBA front office. But if you add a third or fourth stud into the mix, hey, then it really reaches a point of becoming unstoppable because teams can stop one player. They can limit two players, but three and four players, now it becomes hard to rotate and find all those different people. So please tell me why a team with Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Serge Ibaka, and Thabo Sefolosha never won anything. Was it just youth? Because from 2010 to 2012, the Oklahoma City Thunder had that all-star squad assembled, and they did make it to the NBA Finals, but they got beat by the Miami Heat. Because at that time, LeBron James had a little help. Dwayne Wade was still capable of playing at a higher level. Chris Bosh was doing dirty work. But there's no question that Oklahoma City squad was absolutely loaded. You had 4-5 legitimate guys there, and they couldn't beat the 2 or 3 that Miami had. I will always think back to that Oklahoma City Thunder team, and I will always wonder if Russell Westbrook's dominance of the basketball just cost that team, because look at the talent they had. We know he likes to dominate the ball. We know at clutch times, he wants the ball in his hands. I think we have seen in the past 2 to 3 years, you know, Kevin Durant's pretty good with the basketball in his hands too. Might want to pass the ball every once in a while to a guy like KD. The Oklahoma City Thunder come in at number 5. Moving on to number 4, you know, much like the Washington Nationals, our number 4 entry was loaded with talent, but they just couldn't put it all together. They just couldn't win the big one. Look at this crazy lineup. John Olerud, Brett Boone, Ichiro Suzuki, Carlos Guillen, Edgar Martinez, Ken Griffey, and Alex Rodriguez. And when you look at these guys that were playing from the late 90s, early 2000s Seattle Mariners, you might think, well, they struggled because they were just all offense and they didn't have any defense. Yet that's not actually the case with the Seattle Mariners back in the late 90s, early 2000s. In 2001, Seattle didn't score more than 3 runs in their 4 losses against the New York Yankees in the ALCS. Now, they did have one 14-run outing, but the rest of that series against the Yankees, they combined for 8 total runs. The Mariners recorded the most wins in Major League Baseball history in 2001 for someone who didn't win the World Series with a record of 116 games. And in 2001, the New York Yankees didn't even win it all. The Arizona Diamondbacks knocked them off. On paper, the Diamondbacks couldn't hold a candle to those Seattle Mariners. Didn't really matter, though. The Diamondbacks were the champs. Moving on to our number 3 team, you know, if you have a team stacked with Hall of Famers, it would stand to reason you're probably going to be in the thick of a title race, right? And the Buffalo Bills of the 1990s were in that title race for 4 years in a row, but they couldn't win it all. Bruce Smith, Jim Kelly, Thurman Thomas, Andre Reed, and don't forget guys like James Lofton, guys like Cornelius Bennett. They even had a phenomenal coach in Marv Levy, but honestly, their best shot was probably in 1990 when Scott Norwood missed that long kick at the end of regulation against the New York Giants. But there is one other game that has to bother Bills fans as much, if not more. Because in Super Bowl 26 against Washington, they got to face Mark Rippon. But then Thurman Thomas lost his helmet. They got off to that bad start, and the Buffalo Bills never recovered. I don't know what it was. The Bills had a lot of talent. Now, like I said, when they faced the Cowboys twice in Super Bowls, they were outmatched. But against Washington and against the Giants, they probably should have found a way to win those games. I don't know. Maybe God just hates Buffalo. Moving on to number 2. Okay, I could just pick a specific team in Minnesota Vikings history, but honestly, I mean, you can pick one if you want, because we can go all the way back to the late 60s and early 70s, because the Minnesota Vikings had Jim Marshall and Alan Page and Carl Eller and Paul Kraus and Gary Larson and Fran Tarkington and Chuck Forman and head coach Bud Grant. But they also had the misfortune of facing some of the greatest teams in NFL history in those 60s and 70s Pittsburgh Steelers and those 70s Oakland Raiders. Their best bet to win a championship was probably that 69 team that lost to the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 4, but the Vikings offense failed to get anything done. They lost 23-7 to Lynn Dawson and the Kansas City Chiefs. And then I could also pick another era in Vikings history, because in 1998, the Vikings were loaded again. They had Randall Cunningham. They had John Randall. They had Robert Smith, Jake Reed, Chris Carter, and some kid named Randy Moss. The Vikings went 15-1, but in the NFC Championship game, they got upset by a smash-mouth team from Atlanta that did their stupid dirty bird dance in the Vikings' home Metrodome. The Minnesota Vikings have gone to 4 Super Bowls, and they have never won any of them. And it's weird, because that 99 team might actually be more painful. And they didn't even make it to the Super Bowl. They got knocked out in the NFC Championship, but I think Vikings fans look back at that team and think that might have been the one that got away. So we now move forward to our number 1 team on our list, the best teams that never won anything. And this team was absolutely loaded. Because Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler's Phi Slamma Jamma team was one of the most fun and most talented teams to ever play college basketball. And don't forget, it wasn't just those two. They had guys like Rob Williams. They had guys like Michael Young, Benny Anders. You know, they were known for their high-flying ability. Their dunks were actually encouraged by their head coach, Guy Lewis. They made the Final Four 3 years in a row. They played their way into the national championship game in back-to-back seasons. But it seemed like in tight games, and we know in those single elimination tournaments, you get tight games. It seemed like in those close games at the finish, Phi Slamma Jamma would choke at the free throw line. North Carolina beat them in the Final Four in 1982. A way overmatched North Carolina State team somehow upset them in 1983, and then Georgetown beat them in 1984. Hey, the Houston Cougars from 82 to 84 were loaded. But like I said, in a single elimination tournament, anything can happen. And with the games on the line, for whatever reason, Houston just didn't get it done when they had to. You know, it is insanely difficult to win a championship. So many things have to break right for you. You have to get lucky with injuries. Your personalities have to get along. You have to have good chemistry. You have to have clutch play down the stretch. You have to have good matchups. We saw that in a number of these teams. And of course, at the end of the day, you have to have a lot of talent. All these teams have talent, but they also all seem to come up short in other departments. And when we look at the Washington Nationals, when we look at the Minnesota Vikings, the Houston Cougars, the Buffalo Bills, the Seattle Mariners, the Oklahoma City Thunder, it all kind of feels like just maybe they missed out on an opportunity to do something pretty special. Hey, it is Friday. We have made it through another week here at the Daily Dose. I hope you enjoyed the week as we took a look at the road to success in football for the upcoming season. Hey, on Monday, we'll be back to discuss all the happenings over the weekend, and I just might have something a little bit special for you next week. Hey, I want to thank all of you for listening to the Daily Dose every day. I hope you're enjoying the show. Thank you for listening. Thank you for reaching out. Thank you for sharing and for subscribing to the show wherever it is that you listen. It is all very appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week. Have a great weekend.